With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, the number one podcast network for today's Kansas City sports fans. With former players from your favorite teams, informed perspectives, and former insiders, this is the place for you. KC Sports Network is proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible.
What's up, Chiefs Kingdom? I am BJ Kissel, and this is KCSN Update, your daily dose of Chiefs news and updates from us here at KC Sports Network. And this video is presented by our good friends at DraftKings. Now, this is going to be a tough day and probably a tough week for all of Chiefs Kingdom until the team gets back out on the field on Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to try to get this taste out of our mouth. That is the loss to the Indianapolis Colts 20-17. On Sunday. Absolutely brutal one. And to break it down today, we've got Matt Miller from ESPN with our stock up, stock down report as we do each Monday. While you're here, can you please go ahead and hit that like and subscribe button? We appreciate it. It helps us reach more people. And before we bring Matt on, we're going to get a quick word from our friends over at DraftKings. The NFL action is in full swing here at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. We're talking touchdowns, big plays, and even bigger wins. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. If that's not enough, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Right now, for every leg you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100%. With payouts bigger than ever, why bet on football anywhere else? To make things even sweeter, you can throw down on stepped up same game parlays once per game day all season long. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code KCSN to get $200 in free bets if your team wins when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code KCSN only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. All right, now we bring on Matt Miller from ESPN. Matt, I've got to ask, because I don't really want to talk about the game a lot, because I'm going to be spending all week talking about this thing. It's a little too soon for me. So Chiefs losing 20-17 to the Colts. On a scale from 1 to 10, how shocked were you about the way that game transpired?
I'll say a 4, and I know you probably don't believe me, but I promise. I was driving Saturday night talking to my brother, Mello, who I think everyone probably knows. We worked together, and said, I can't believe the line is 6.5. And he was like, dude, crazy things happen when the Chiefs go to Indy. Like, you know this. And I was like, that's what talked me out of hopping over to Kansas and placing a little DraftKings bet on that, was because of that conversation. So not surprised. I think what was surprising, though, BJ, was the lack of communication offensively. It never seemed to gel, right? It just, everything looked out of sorts. An offensive line that has been so good really got just held up by the Colts defensive line. So I think it was not the fact that they lost, but I think the manner in which they lost is probably what's most surprising, because we haven't seen this team struggle like this. And it was something you and I talked about last week, was, oh my God, look, yeah, Mahomes is getting the ball to all these different people. They're getting so many guys involved. That really stopped this week.
Yeah. And it was tough. You don't get the running game going at all. I mean, right. Clyde, we talked about Clyde for the first 2 weeks, was a pleasant surprise. And it was like, you know what? He's taking advantage of the opportunity. A lot of, you know, people talking about him throughout the offseason and the first round pick and all of that. And he looked great the first two games, and then just nothing in this game. And, you know, for me, it was just surprising, because, you know, you struggle a little bit. You understand it against the Chargers because of who you're going against. You're going against Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, Derwin James. And, you know, Buckner's good, don't get me wrong. And but they didn't have, you know, Shaquille Leonard, Darius, and whoever is going. Yeah, they don't have him. And not to say those other guys aren't professionals, but they ain't the Chargers defense.
Yeah, you had your best defensive player, arguably your best player, period, out. and you held the Chiefs to 17 points. So I'm sure we'll get into this. I don't mean to just jump all over the place for you. I felt like everything changed when they went for the fake field goal. It's like it's fourth and four. Is that what it was? Fourth and short. Anyway,
something like that. Yeah.
And you let Tommy Townsend throw the ball instead of Patrick Mahomes after already there being like whatever you want to call it, some disagreements at least, you know, between the offense and the coaching staff. I really felt like from there, the energy just got sucked out of that team.
Yeah, I think people have kind of made the point, and you know, because you've been around long enough, and not to say that it's great the guys are disagreeing, but you have a problem. I think Bobby Stroop said it best, and Bobby knows Patrick. He knows more about everything that's going on than anyone else. And he said, you have a problem if your quarterback doesn't want to score in that moment and doesn't feel comfortable enough to say something. And you also have a problem if you don't have a coaching staff that's looking at the bigger picture. And that, I think it's a great way of putting it, and that no one's in the wrong there. Patrick is fired up. Your emotions are high. The adrenaline is going. He wants to score. He wants to go out there and do his thing. And the coaching staff doesn't want to put him in harm's way. They don't, for whatever reason, whatever reasons they have are going to make sense. Trust me, common sense always prevails. Right. When the lack of things making sense is because common sense is missing, or there's pieces of information that are missing. And so that to me, compared from a scale from like 0 to 10 on sideline dust ups, that's a 0.5 compared to what you normally see. If they would just put a camera on the sideline for the entire game and you could tune into that feed and watch it, you'd have a completely different perspective.
It would look a lot more like Ken Dorsey in the coach's box than people realize.
I was only down on the sideline for that 1 year. I was only down on the sideline for that 1 year when they won a Super Bowl, but it was multiple times a game when you see coaches and players getting into it like that. And it's just the way that they communicate on the sideline. And I think a lot's going to be made about what was said during the offseason and all the rumors and different things about it. Right. But with the issues that were going on with the Chiefs yesterday, that to me had nothing to do with anything else that was going on. Offensively, they could not run the ball. I think there's been some criticism of Patrick Mahomes in that game, which I don't necessarily understand. I don't think it was his best game, but you're going to come up with 6-7 things. We're going to get to your stock up, stock down report. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes is going to be the top 6 things that were stocked down from that game. I'm curious where you want to start, because there's a lot that we can get to, but Matt, when you look at this game stock, we're just going to start with stock down. Okay. Cause that's what people probably want. They don't want sunshine and rainbows right now.
Right.
Stock down. What stands out to you the most?
Man, I text you early in this game and said, stock down Sky Moore. And then that was after the first muff punt, you know, and then there's the second one where it's like, it wasn't a muff. We'll give him credit for that, but it's just a lack of awareness, I think, very surprising, but really special teams as a whole. You have a crucial missed field goal, which Matt Amendola is not, you know, the regular kicker. I think you could criticize the decision to sign him over some people with more experience if you wanted. Hopefully Harrison Butker's back quickly. But I really felt like, as much as people want to put this game on Mahomes or on the defense, the game to me rests on special teams. If special teams performs as they're supposed to, the Chiefs win this game. Some of that does go back to that decision to go for the fake field goal, which I do not like at all. I hated that decision when it happened. I felt like my biggest criticism of Andy Reid as a head coach is they get too conservative sometimes. And this wasn't that. This was just like, what the hell are you doing? That's too cute. You have the greatest quarterback in the NFL. You have the greatest tight end maybe of all time, and you need a couple yards. Like this is a gimme. And so I felt like they just outthought themselves at times in this game. So, but big picture, my first stock down is definitely a special teams play.
Yeah, it started off strange from the beginning. And I'll give a little grace just because with every young punt returner, they have a game like there are mistakes like this. And it felt like between that and then the Kelsey drop in the end zone later in the game, it was just they were having trouble seeing the ball. I know that they had the roof open. I'm not making excuses for them. You still got to go make those plays. But with a young punt returner, you're going to have situations like that. We saw it with Mecole Hardman, his rookie year, that it wasn't always perfect. We'll give Sky Moore a little bit of grace. But when we were texting, then it became all of special teams for the reason that you mentioned. They missed an extra point. Yeah. And they missed the field goal. Then they did the fake field goal. And even the last drive of the game, 24 seconds left on the clock, Pacheco takes it out of the end zone, wastes 6 seconds off the clock, and only gets to the 20-yard line. Like, we literally lost 5 yards and 6 seconds by the decision to bring the ball out. Now, I understand they always want to bring it out. They always want to go for it. But they had struggled so much with any kind of return game, and it just felt like they were completely out of sync on that entire phase of the game.
it also goes to who is your quarterback. You know, if you have Jimmy Garoppolo out there, quarterback, let's try to bring that fucker out, right? Like, let's try to do something because we know we don't have a guy that is great at throwing a deep ball. He's not Patrick Mahomes. I feel like that's just that situational football awareness to know, like, okay, maybe we don't have Tyreek, but we still have Mahomes. You want the time. You want to give your quarterback time to make a play. And I'm with you. I was shocked. I was sitting there watching the game and it's like, okay, there's still like, what, 24 seconds left? That's plenty of time. We've seen it before with Mahomes.
Yeah.
But then you do. You just eat away time. It was kind of shocking because the team is usually so situationally smart. And I think it does go to that. You have young guys being thrust into big roles, whereas in the past, we've seen Tyreek Hill there. We've seen Mecole Hardman there. Even Pringle at times, you know, in that role. Now you're relying on rookies who have maybe, you know, never been a primary return man. So I think, you know, that's something that's probably not going to happen again this year. They're going to learn from those mistakes. But it does go back to coaching, in my opinion.
Yeah, and this isn't sunshine and rainbows and all that, but we've seen the Chiefs struggle before. We've seen them have bad losses, and they always figure it out. Very rarely, and I can't remember, I mean, definitely not since Andy Reid has been in Kansas City, do these things linger for too long. I mean, we saw them start 1-5 one season. They turned around and came back and won the division. And so they will right the ship, but some of the issues are concerning that they do have to get fixed. And we have very rarely pointed at special teams in a game like that. And I said this morning on the radio with Slacker at 101, the Fox, that I can't remember a time in just covering or watching football that I could definitively point to special teams as costing the game. And not just because you miss a field goal at the end or you screw something up at the end of the game, but like multiple issues. Multiple issues. Right. And then outside of that, it was players not executing. It was decision-making. It was literally a little bit of everything that led to the Chiefs to that loss. But again, there's nothing you can do about it now. But the only saving grace for the Chiefs is that the Bills lost and other teams around the AFC lost as well. The Chargers getting smoked by Jacksonville was really surprising. But then again, it just pisses me off because, man, you really had a chance to separate yourself 3 weeks into the season and solidify yourself as the leader for home field advantage and all those things. So,
and that's what last night I saw Chiefs fans be like, well, hey, the Bills lost too, or hey, the Chargers and Raiders lost. It's like, guys, you're missing the point. You could have gone a game up on those teams. So it's like, it's better that everyone other than Denver loses the same time you do, but you want to take care of those games. You know, the Bills lost to a damn good Miami team. Who knows? Jacksonville might actually be good. You know, they've played pretty well the last 2 weeks. So I think it's also that, you know, we all want to rush to judgment after 3 weeks when we're still learning so much about who these teams are, and we're going to see players emerge, you know, and everyone's going to change quite a bit.
Yep. All right, before we move on to stock up, do you have another stock down, or do you have any other points that you want to bring up before we move on to some of the positive stuff?
Yeah, I think we've hit it. Well, I was very disappointed that they abandoned the run game yesterday. You know, you mentioned Clyde didn't get anything going. He only had 7 carries. I think Jerick McKinnon only had 7 carries. There was just – Mahomes led the team in rushing, which there was that – all that talk on the Sunday morning shows about, like, Mahomes has changed his game. He's not running anymore. Then he comes out and leads the team in rushing. That's not what you want. He's incredibly gifted. His ability to, you know – create time to find passing windows is unprecedented. I do think this is not a player you want leading your team in rushing, though.
Yeah, I'm going to be curious. The only other stock down I have, and I'm hesitant to bring it up now or really get into it, so I'm going to add the disclaimer that I want to wait till the All-22 comes out. I want the KC Lab guys, Craig, Kent, Maddie, a chance to get the All-22, watch the film, and then listen to the KC Laboratory tonight. If you're listening to this or watching this on Monday at 8 o'clock, they will go live, and then you know, Matt Castle, Matt Hamilton do the breakdown on Wednesday where they really get into stuff. But the offensive line, to me, for those same reasons, as far as the running game not getting going, this was not a game that I didn't expect the Chiefs offensive line to not, I don't say dominate up front, but to really get things going like they had done over the first 2 weeks, and felt like this wasn't a front that was, this wasn't one of the best three fronts they faced. This was, if I had to rank the Cardinals, the Chargers, and the Colts, I would not put the Colts in the top two. Yeah. So maybe at the end of the season that opinion will change and will show, hey, they're much better than we gave them credit for. But at this point right now, I'm not ready to say stock down with the offensive line. But I will say that it was really surprising that they couldn't kind of insert their will up front. So jury's out on that one, but let's move to stock up. Who was a pleasant surprise for you coming out of that disappointing loss?
Man, I feel like I say it every week, but Nick Bolton with another huge game. And I promise this isn't just me like doubling down on my preseason prediction about him, but it's, I mean, you know, we see him making plays in the backfield, two sacks, some pressures. He was everywhere, you know, second on the team in tackles. That's the type of game that you need to have. And I think for him, he's not just emerging as the best linebacker on the Chiefs. He's emerging as one of the best young linebackers in the NFL. And he's going to have to step up with Willie Gay out for a couple games. And he did. And he did against, I think, the best running back in the NFL, Jonathan Taylor. Yeah. He did against a very, very good interior offensive line. So I think it was overall an impressive day for Nick Bolton, where he is becoming that, you know, that force on defense. I don't want to say he's a leader yet, because I haven't been up there enough to know like what the culture is like in the locker room, who's filling that leadership void, but certainly seems like he's someone that is tailor made for that role.
Yeah. And I would go as far, and you bring up a great point, because I thought the fourth down stop would be sitting here celebrating Nick Bolton had the Chiefs finished out that game. If Kelce had caught the touchdown, I know he took responsibility for that after the game, which was tough. And you don't see Travis Kelce not make plays like that. And we haven't even got to the Chris Jones unsportsmanlike penalty. And I want to talk to you about that because I'm very torn on how I feel about that. Cause in part of my brain is saying that is completely stupid and he should not have done that in that situation. Third and six with 5 minutes to go, you're leading, you have an 8 yard loss on a sack. Like, the game's over.
Yeah.
So you don't have to say anything, but at the same time, that's the softest flag I may have ever seen at an NFL game. He was not raising his voice. They were barely even yelling. Yeah. And if you've ever been on a sideline or near the first few rows, the referee, Sean Smith, told the pool reporter via Sam McDowell, the Kansas City Star, said that it was vulgar language directed at an opponent.
Yeah, that's
a third or half of NFL plays. Like, you could throw a flag on every single play and throw it in that situation. I don't know what he said.
That's the thing. Yeah. It has to be. I'm trying to give Chris Jones the benefit of the doubt, but the other side, like where my, like the logic center of my brain kicks in, and is like, he had to say something pretty damn bad to get a flag at that moment. Right. If we're assuming the NFL officials are fair and unbiased and just like they're there to get the game over with and everyone home safely, then you have to say something pretty awful to get the flag at that point. I know quarterbacks are protected. Someone's got to be mic'd up so we can eventually hear what came out. Or Matt Ryan is not the kind of guy that will like run to the media and be like, here's what he said about me. Yeah. But I'm with you. Like, Chris Jones has to be smarter, but at the same time, you probably don't think you're getting a personal foul for talking when, you know, we've seen much worse happen and nothing, you know, no flags are thrown.
Yeah. And not in that situation. And I know you want to be black and white with the rules, but Sean Smith, that he put the game in his hands by throwing that flag. So whatever better have been worth basically costing the Chiefs a real chance at a win now. And I'll talk out of both sides of my mouth as well, because the Chiefs' running game was non-existent. So they get the ball back with 5 minutes. There's nothing to say that they were going to take any time off the clock and that it would have resulted in a win. If they were averaging 5 yards a carry and the running game was going, the offensive line was dominating, then it's a yes. But that was not the case at all. So it was going to be dink and dunk, and hopefully they don't incomplete passes and the clock doesn't get going, because we've all watched Andy Reid. We know how that may have played out, especially with the amount of man coverage they were playing. But going back to the original point, the defense did a great job overall. I mean, five sacks in that game. Again, Nick Bolton, that fourth and one play, we'd be sitting here talking about, you know, him as a, you know, Pro Bowl, like you said, one of the something. I was going to say like all pro, like there's some good players out there. But again, to your point, one of the best young linebackers in the league who's blossoming, who's you know, going to be atop the league if he stays healthy in total tackles. I know Darius Harris had a big game. He got picked on a little bit with that first early touchdown. But I thought he really came into it. I was talking to Kent Swanson during the game, and it felt like as the game went on, Darius Harris, you know, got a little bit more comfortable, started playing well. But Jalen Watson had another couple of really, really big pass breakups. The other thing that we talked about last night, I'm curious your thoughts on this, is that it felt like, you know, Steve Spagnuolo, I think, had one of his better games. Every time he dialed up a blitz, they were getting pressure. But at the same time, when they weren't calling blitzes, they weren't getting a lot of pressure. And so it's, you know, tomato, tomato, depending upon how you want to look at that. But overall, I thought the defense had a very good game. And again, if you would have told me that we were 2-1 to start the season, wouldn't have been completely surprised. But if you would have told me that it was the young defense that was basically carrying us to two of those, you know, I guess one win and one should have been a win. I'd be surprised to know it was the offense and a lot of man coverage being played and Gus Bradley kind of changing up what he had done, not completely, but playing less of that cover three that he's been known for and a little bit more man coverage, which going back to the offseason, Mecole Hardman going on national TV saying we are welcoming Tyreek being gone because we're going to see more man coverage and you're going to see what we can do with it.
Yeah.
They're seeing a lot more man coverage and it hasn't really clicked yet.
Not yet. And I think that's why Travis Kelce was such a huge focal part of the game yesterday, because there was man coverage. And it goes back to that trust. Like, who does Patrick trust to beat man coverage consistently? And I think as great as 15 is, like, there are times where it's okay to be somewhat critical or questionable, like question at least. And that was the one thing yesterday. It just felt like even the, I guess we're calling it a drop, that would have been an amazing catch in my opinion. So yeah. I don't know why Travis is completely taking all the blame there, but there were just times where I think we have to see Mahomes get to those second, third, fourth options, which we were praising him for in weeks one and two. But yeah, I mean, the lack of run game was shocking. To your point, the defense, yeah, I mean, I did not expect them to be this good this early. Your guy, George Karlaftis, is making splash plays every week. The secondary, like when Trent McDuffie went down, was like, okay, well, here we go. Here's a soft spot. But, you know, Jalen's played really well. I mentioned Snead has stepped up. I think the safeties are working very well together. We're seeing more Brian Cook, which is great. But I do think that you now have a defense that if you have an off week offensively, you should still be able to win games. Obviously, that didn't happen yesterday, but some of that was, wait, it goes back to special teams, which you only talk about when it's really bad or really good.
Yeah, I mean, the Colts scored two touchdowns. One of them was gifted because they got the ball on the 4-yard line after a muffed punt. The other one was gifted because of Chris Jones' penalty. Those are the only two drives that they had that were over 46 yards in that game.
Yeah,
and so that's the frustrating part. But
team game, those 14 points really, really matter.
Yeah. Frustrating, but to your point and to what, you know, Mello had said, just weird things happen in Indians. People had, you know, talked about it beforehand, and you know, you just get caught up in the, there's no way Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Travis Kelce won't have answers for what they're trying to do. But if a third of your team plays the worst game that we've seen in the 10 years that Andy Reid and Dave Tobe have been together, you can't overcome everything when it's not an A-plus performance in the other areas. So, Matt, before we let you go, I want to get your thoughts since you do NFL draft, you do a lot of college football. How about K-State? And I'm going to give KU. I'm going to throw KU in there.
Yeah.
I grew up a KU fan and, you know, run a network that covers KU football. We'll ignore Mizzou for right now. But how about those Cats and those Jayhawks?
I asked you last week to take care of Oklahoma for me, and you guys did it. So thank you. I said it in jest, but you did it. So at KU, they should be ranked. That's it. That's the tweet. They should be ranked. It's kind of shocking that they're not, but we know that these voters are very set in their ways at times. And it's probably going to take – I also don't think a lot of the voters realize how good Duke was. You know, that was an undefeated matchup. So a lot of people are just, like, making the joke about it, but, you know, the basketball game. But I think for KU, great, great win, obviously. And for Adrian Martinez, who I am a fan of, the way he's handled himself through all the adversity at Nebraska to where he's at now, that is a – you know, that's a career-defining win for him. That's something that he's always going to have, you know, despite, you know, not living up to expectations in Nebraska. That's a win you're going to remember forever. So
that's why he transferred there.
Exactly. Yeah.
That was the game.
Great
one of the games
for him. And I'm terrified of both of those teams as a Texas Longhorn fan, given that we are back to not being able to tackle. So it's a lot of fun.
All right. Well, I appreciate you giving us the thoughts on the college football. Matt Miller from ESPN, can you tell us what you're working on right now? Where can people find your work if they're not familiar?
Yeah, you know, we're almost to the quarter mark of the college football season. So a lot of my work right now, updating big boards, getting ready for mock drafts. I know Chiefs fans are 14 weeks away from caring about that type of thing. But for those fans who are out of the playoff race almost already, like the Raiders who are 0-3, then there will be a lot of draft coverage coming out on ESPN and ESPN Plus.
All right. That's Matt Miller from ESPN. And everybody, we appreciate you for tuning into this episode of KCSN Update, whether you're watching on YouTube or whether you're listening to the podcast version. We appreciate your support. Please go ahead and like, subscribe, follow whatever platform that you are listening on. We appreciate your support. Let your friends know about us. We are 17 months old and we are setting records for the company each and every month. And that is due completely to your support of what we've got going on. We've got about 18 Chiefs shows per week. So we've got something for everyone. They're all built a little different personalities, different styles. So we try to make it to where there's something for everyone, depending upon the type of content you like. That is by design, and we appreciate all of your support. Until next time, make sure to catch the Laboratory tonight at 8 o'clock, going live on YouTube. You can catch the podcast after, and lots more great content throughout the week as the Chiefs get ready for the Bucks on Sunday. All right. Until next time, everybody, I'll see you later.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.